Well, I grew up in the Northern California area, so okay. there was a guy named Bob Zucchini. He built the Golden Nugget.
Okay.
And, oh, I know that car. Okay.
And yep. as a kid, that was the car that kind of inspired me. As
okay,
a,
and
as
what a, was it?
It was a Buick, 57 Buick.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, and he also built a bunch. I loved motorcycles growing up.
Okay.
So he built the American Express and Arlen Ness. And
okay.
Bob, all these guys were like Bob Drone, uh-huh. and all the bike builders. Uh-huh. I kind of grew up around that.
Okay.
And
okay.
I remember being a kid going to the Grand Oakland Roadster show, 7, 8, 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was two big rooms at the Coliseum, mm-hmm. but then there was a tunnel in between. So the tunnel was where all the bikers
were. Where all the bikes were. Okay. Yep.
And okay. all the bike, and it'd be dark and kind of dingy looking in there and purple lights, right? And I, as a little kid, I'd be like, God, I love it in this little tunnel with all these dark bikers and
like an alien kind of world.
Black lights.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of my favorite little area as a little kid. My mom would leave, we'd take Bart and my mom would leave me there and I'd be 8, 9 years old by myself.
Hey, welcome to Car Guy Confessions, brought to you by ARP. I'm Jeff Smith. This is my car buddy Cam Benty and car builder Steve Strope, and we're going to tell you some stories.
Welcome to another episode of Car Guy Confessions with Jeff Smith. The special episode, Ron Cameron's with us today at the Grand National Roadster Show. And we want to thank, first of all, our sponsor, ARP-Bolts.com. The guys at ARP really help us out. And you can't see, he's invisible right now. Steve is actually here in spirit. Steve will be here with us soon. Right? Steve Strope. And then Cam Benty will be with us in upcoming episodes. But for now, it's just you and me, man.
Wow.
So
thank you for having me.
You
appreciate
are up
it.
For Kloniker Award?
No.
Builder of the Year.
We are Builder of the Year.
You are Builder of the Year.
2024.
Okay.
They gave it to us.
And and what's involved with that?
Wow. That's a good question. You know, we've been doing this a long time. We've been in business about 20 years.
Okay.
I've been coming to the Grand National Roadster Show since 1968.
Wow.
In Oakland.
Wow.
I've been involved.
It was originally in
Oakland.
I mean,
this was always my home away from home. Okay. I moved from the Bay Area here in the mid-80s.
And it followed the show?
It followed me here.
It
followed me here. So I always felt like this was my place.
Uh-huh.
But I've been coming here. We've been having our booth here for the last, I don't know, 10 or 15 years.
Uh-huh.
And we were honored with it last year at our shop. We did a car show in June.
Okay.
And John and Kevin and Laura and everybody uh-huh. came out. And
yeah.
They said, we're going to be the builder. And I said, you're kidding me. Really?
So that's quite an honor.
It is a huge for us. It's big. Yeah. It's a big honor. But I always look at it. I go, you know, it's not me. You know, it's never been a me thing. It's our shop.
Yeah.
How many guys? We have a total of about 14 guys working
14.
For us.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we're like our own car club.
Mm-hmm.
Our own car club and family.
Uh-huh.
And so we do everything together. We do car shows together.
It almost has to be, doesn't it?
It's the way it is for us.
Because car building is not, you know,
no.
it's not like the TV shows.
Right, right.
Not like that at all.
No,
you know?
No.
That's
we're the
that's
real McCoy.
Hollywood.
Let me tell you, we have our painters, Hitoshi mm-hmm. and Osmar. These guys are fantastic. Talent is crazy.
Yeah.
I have Rick Kirsch, who's he's been with me since day one.
Uh-huh.
And when I met him, he was always driving his hot rod around, and he was always smashing it. And the week later, I'd see it. It would be fixed. I go, dude, are you a metal guy? Oh, no. I'm a sign painter. I go, you know, you need to come work for us. And he became our metal guy.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
He's great. And
that's
and Steve Garcia is with us now. And mm-hmm. then I got the tech, Dave P. and Bo. And
mm-hmm.
and my daughter's boyfriend, Ian, is working for us, uh-huh. assembling all this stuff and building mm-hmm. stuff. And it's just, we got great talent.
Yeah.
Great guys, great family, no attitude, no egos. We're just all one cool
that's,
thing.
And that's
you know what
hard
saying?
To do. That's hard to do. So you have to... As owner and manager, because
right.
I was editor for Hot Rod for 6 years and magazines and stuff, and managing people is not easy.
No.
It's really hard.
You
but
know,
at the same time, it isn't if you treat the people the way they expect to be treated, but also the way you would like to be treated.
Exactly.
And then you give them, I'm sure you do this. I don't know, you know, but I'm sure that you do, that you give them all the credit.
Oh, absolutely,
and,
all the
you know,
time.
Because they only want...
They're the guys.
Media wants to come to you and make you the hero, and it's they're the ones
I'm
that did the
hero.
Work,
yeah.
and you're just kind of making sure the ship gets pointed in the right direction.
Absolutely.
And the sails are full, and,
right.
and life is good, and everybody's fed, and everybody's happy.
And they have
right?
work to come back in on Monday.
Yeah,
and there's going to be jobs there for them and everything else. That's
And they're enthusiastic about it, too.
You know, when the passion is driven...
Yeah.
You don't really have to worry about a lot of that because they're so passionate and so artistic about their work.
Yeah.
You really don't have to push it much. You just got to say, do I like it or not, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't really like that. Let's try something different.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move on and try something different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's passion-driven company for us.
That's so much fun.
Yeah.
It has to be fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. We have a great time.
Because it's not easy.
Yeah, we work four tens, Monday through Thursday.
Okay.
10-hour days, and everybody goes home Thursday night, 5 o'clock.
Okay.
Don't think about this place. Let's meet up on Monday again.
Okay.
And we'll do it again.
Yeah, yeah. So even when the shows get close, it's still that way?
They're all here. They do shows with us, but we try to only pick a few big shows.
Okay.
This is one of them.
Okay.
Obviously, John Buck's show is one of our best shows that we do.
Sure, yeah.
And it's more in my heart because I've grown up around this thing as a kid, right?
Right, right.
So I always tell John, I feel like I've been a part of this show since I was a kid, you know?
It's like you're coming to visit your uncle,
to visit
right?
My own. I remember even when I met my wife, and we were boyfriend and girlfriend at the time, and we'd go to Oakland, and we'd go there for 2-3 days, and I'd see the same cars over and over 2-3 days. She goes, man, how many times can you see these cars? And I said, you know what? Let's just sit up there in the balcony and stare at these things for a few hours. It's just, you got to take that in. If anybody ever been to the Grand National Roadster Show at the Oakland Coliseum, you know what it feels like to be in that room.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so, you say your daughter has a dragster?
My daughter has a super pro dragster, rear engine car. She's been racing juniors since she was about 7 or 8.
Wow.
And kind of got out of it when she was 13, and she hit me up when she was 18, and she said, Dad, I'd like to build another car. So we built her a super pro, kind of a super comp dragster.
Okay. Yeah.
And we're learning so much from it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And we've been having fun with that. Matter of fact,
it's highly competitive.
It's
highly
when you run super comp, it's a whole new thing. And these guys are, man,
How fast? 100?
She's run she runs 8.0s all day long and, you know, 165 miles an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. And everybody wants to go faster in the lights, right?
Yeah.
It's all about closing speed.
Yeah.
Right?
It's all about that reaction time.
Yep. Yep.
And you're playing with your box and you're playing with your numbers.
Yep.
And
yep.
You don't want the other one to know.
And how much wind do we have?
Yeah,
and all the other factors what's going on in the weather.
Yeah. That's right. It's crazy. Yeah. The weather, you got to have your weather station. Mm-hmm.
So you help her with the car?
I help her. Yeah. Her boyfriend helps her a lot too, Ian. Uh-huh. He helps us a lot with it.
Yeah.
He's a drag boat racer and he kind of helps us with the tuning of the car and, you know, the carburetor, running the valves, and I could do all that stuff too, but I'm one guy trying to do everything for her,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
I bring her out, I stage her, I set her up.
Okay.
Actually, she's at the point now, she don't even need to be staged. She just does her own thing, you know, now. But yeah, it's a kid. But, you know, we're doing family stuff, which is the best thing out of all of it, you know? We're spending family time together. We go every weekend. We're going next week testing. The weekend after, we're going to Vegas to go run. And we do car shows together. Mm-hmm. We do everything together. It's, it's all about the family thing for us.
That's great. That's great. Yeah.
Great times.
So you've got a car here, too. You've got a
CUDA. I have a CUDA in the street machine room in Building 9 that we built. It's got a Hemi in it, big tire car. I have a Merc that we built for a client of mine that's up by the stage, that old Merc, that 51 we built. And in our booth, I have two Novas. I have a 67 and a 70 Nova that we built.
Okay.
And a 56 Volkswagen Bug. That we built. It's in there. And then my daughter, she bought a new jet ski, so we painted it, and that's on display because of the paint job. And then we built a really cool little, I've always been into bicycles as a kid, and I was building bicycles for Oakland Roads. So I took some of the parts that I had from when I was a kid, and we built a lowrider bike here to give away on Sunday to our painter's son. He doesn't know, so he can't see this.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so on Sunday, we're going to give it to him, this little lowrider bike that we built that's in our booth. Yeah. So we're going
to
give it to him.
In front of all the people.
Everybody,
That's going to be, that's really cool.
We're going to give it to him.
Yeah.
It'll be fun.
So in terms of building cars, what's the biggest challenge for you as a, because you build the entire car.
We buy chassis from Roadster Shop. We always use Roadster Shop for the base.
Okay.
And then, you know, we always have to talk to the customer and say, okay, what are you looking for? Most of these guys are looking to either build their dream they wish they had when they were a kid.
Right.
When they were in high school. And had the money today.
Right.
That's one thing. Or some guys just like to keep building different cars because they love everything in the world, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, ultimately, it's just trying to get in their head of what they're looking for.
Okay.
And try to stay focused with that and not try to build a car for me.
Okay.
I'm not into building these cars for myself. It's not a me thing. It's building cars for the client. So I look at the client, I said, you know, what do you really want to do with this and what is your budget?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you want to drive it? Do you want to drive it? Is it going to go on a trailer? Are you going to show this thing all over?
Or are you going to put 1,000 miles on it?
Exactly.
A week.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we kind of look at that and I kind of say, okay, we got to look at if something's going to be a driver, let's keep the motor kind of tame and calm.
Right.
And then, obviously we're not going to slam this thing on the ground. It's going to be more of a driver.
It's got to have ground clearance.
We get a little bit of everything. We get guys that want to restore cars. We get guys that want a show car. We get guys that want a race car.
Uh-huh.
We get guys that want to build a muscle car. They want to drive it and go on a course and churn this thing into all.
So it's a little bit of everything.
We get a little bit of everything. Yeah. So we got to just make sure that we do the right thing for the client. Uh-huh. And when the client gets the car at the end, the customer, that it's exactly what he wanted.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to pick the color. You're going to pick the color. if they want to do something kind of funky, I would steer them in the right way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we try to keep it focused for the customer.
Uh huh. Yeah. 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 So do you hire your own customers? I mean, because I've talked to builders. It's like, I'm halfway through this thing and the builders, the owner's driving me crazy. He's, because he keeps changing his mind and everything else. You just kind of pick and choose, with the customer?
We have a great clientele. We've mm-hmm. never really advertised. Most of our clientele is repeat builds.
Okay.
So, and most of them, we talk about it before we do the build. Mm-hmm. We try to communicate with all that, what we want to do before we get into it. Sometimes we'll get a rendering made of the vehicle, mm-hmm. and we try to stay focused. If they decide they want to go a little sideways on wheels or a color, that's not a big deal to me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's where the money really spent in building the chassis and the car and all the fab work and everything. If you put all this money into building, doing all this fab work, and he wants to make it a right side driver or something kind of crazy.
Yeah, okay.
I've never had that. I never had that problem where they really went sideways on mm-hmm. me like that. And money wise, we're all usually up front on how much it's going to take to do the build.
Yeah.
On the build.
Yeah. There's a lot of people who don't understand how much is involved with it, because so much of what you do is labor intensive, right?
It's half and half.
Yeah.
If you're going to build a $500,000 car, it's $250,000 in labor and $250,000 in parts.
Yeah.
It's half and half.
Just because of all the time involved. So like the CUDA, how long does something like that take to build?
That CUDA, it's a funny story, that CUDA, he brought an original CUDA to me.
Uh-huh.
It was a low mileage car, about 60,000 miles on this thing. It was yellow, vinyl top. It's a cool car, mm-hmm. nice car, family car. He found it in a mobile home park up in Sacramento.
Okay.
And he came to me and he goes, I want to build this thing, but I don't want to go too crazy. And it ended up being a big tire car, a Hemi in it, supercharged. Retuned to 1,000 horsepower, black leather interior.
But I don't want to go crazy.
Electric
with
windows,
it.
Vintage air, all this crazy stuff.
Unload all the parts.
And I said, cool, whatever. We could do it, It's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Yeah, yeah. So anyone that you that kind of tugs at you a little bit, like you finish the car and then it's like, I don't want to sell it. I don't want to let this go.
I love the build.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to see him go.
Yeah.
It's like a child, right?
Yep.
You raise him.
Push him out of the nest, right?
You raise him, and then it's time to go, That's kind of my favorite, I love the process and the camaraderie of all of us guys together putting this thing together. Mm-hmm. And then when it's time to see it go bye-bye, it's good. It's ready. I'm ready.
Yeah.
And move on to the next
one. Move on to the next one. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready.
So how many cars have you guys built so far?
We probably have built, I'm just going to say probably 30, 40 cars.
Wow.
Yeah, in the 20 years we've been doing this.
Wow. That'd be a great car show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, we built a lot of cars. Just this last year, we built four new cars this year.
Wow.
Our plan for this year, 2024, is to probably come out with five new cars.
Wow.
In 1 year.
So that's like a car every two and a half months.
We're not building the $3 million cars. We're building, $300,000 cars, $250,000 cars.
Still,
which is great for us because it's, that's what we like to do.
The business side of that, how does that work? Is it difficult to manage that? I would think that there's like a cash flow issue, right?
I collect parts up front.
Mm-hmm.
And I bill every Friday for labor.
Okay.
I get paid by every Monday. I'm paid.
Okay.
Monday.
That's good.
I'm on it.
Yeah.
All my clients pay me by Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm always, everybody's current. Uh-huh. I've only had maybe in the 20 years, maybe two incidents of people really.
Wow.
Had a hard time.
That's probably a result of you choosing the right client.
Yeah.
Too, right?
Yeah.
Because I've heard the horror stories, right?
No.
I'm 2/3 of the way through this project and the owner just says, I don't have any more money. I'm done. I'm gone, right?
Yeah.
I've heard those stories.
That's
got to be just debilitating.
No, we stay really current. I stay current on all that stuff.
Yeah.
My daughter's a big help. My Sophie, she helps me in the office. She does HR. She does receivables, accounts payables, and receivables.
Yeah.
She helps me with all that stuff, and she's a big help in the office.
Cool. But
I do the invoices because most people don't understand the invoice thing of it.
Mm-hmm.
And when they look at the hourly forms and how much we got into a vehicle – You know, if there's 10 hours involved in something and I feel there's only should be five, mm-hmm. I'll delete the five. I'll question my guy, why do we have 10? And mm-hmm. he'll tell me why. And I'll just bill the five usually, okay. you know, or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
You got to keep it straight.
Right.
I think that's why we have a really good reputation mm-hmm. of these builds anyway uh-huh. through all these years and cool. the same customers over and over.
So any particular big challenge that you've run into has to have happened?
Rent.
Okay.
Rent, let me tell you. We started in one unit of about 2,000 square feet 20 years ago. We got another unit. We were in like 8,000 square feet in one building.
Yeah.
I had the body shop and another 4,000 at that end, which is a dust problem. And then I got another 4,000 in front of our shop.
Uh-huh.
And the rent has just gone through the roof.
Yeah.
And I should have been smart enough when I was younger. You know, I'm kind of an older guy in this kind of industry. Uh-huh. I started late on this mm-hmm. deal, you know, even though I've been involved since I was 14 or mm-hmm. so. But I, you know, I was going to tell the guys, the younger generation, if you're doing this thing, plan on finding a building somewhere and start with your own property.
Start with your own property.
Because
you're paying yourself.
You're leveraged. Yeah. You're leveraged at that point. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? When you're paying this guy, my rent went to $16,000 to $20,000 a month for rent.
Hmm.
It's nuts. You should own your own building.
Yeah.
So
the
smart guys, I'm sure, you know, either they moved on their own property, built their own shops, or mm-hmm. bought buildings. And I'm still renting.
And tough in Southern California besides, right?
Yeah, that's probably why it's nice to move to Tennessee or something like that. My wife won't move to Tennessee.
Or Iowa. That's where I moved.
Iowa. She should be going to Iowa.
It was so funny. I wanted to add on to my shop. You know, I had a 50 by 30 shop when I bought the place. And the guy two doors down is the mayor, right? Neighbor. Yeah. So he drives by one day and he stops and talks for a few minutes, and I said, yeah, I'm going to add on this, you know, 40 by 48 onto my shop. Do I need any kind of permit? And he goes, for what?
That's nice.
I can't cross the street in Los Angeles without asking, you know, somebody asking me for a permit and wanting money. And I said, you don't care? He goes, no, you're raising the property value of this whole town because it's a town of 90 people.
Wow.
Yeah, I live out in the boonies.
That's great.
It's great. I mean, because then it's far more open and you can do what you want. You
know, that's nice.
You know, just do what you want.
Yeah. We live in a little town in Orange, mm-hmm. old town. It's an old historical area.
Uh-huh.
We live there, but it's nice because we know everybody in our little town.
Yeah.
You know, if you have any issues, you mm-hmm. just, yeah, but it's been nice to live on 10 acres of property somewhere and a bunch of trees and a little river in your backyard.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That would be perfect. Yeah. So how'd you get started in this thing? What got you going in the business?
It's probably the same thing that everybody's going to tell you, those damn Hot Wheels, right? The darn Hot Wheels as a little kid, when you saw that little Hot Wheel and you saw that little red pinstripe tire, that's what hit, I was like, it clicked.
Yeah, okay.
I've been involved, my whole family's musicians, and I grew up playing music, and my brothers and my father.
What'd you play?
I'm a drummer. Yeah? I've been playing since I was five.
Excellent.
But, you know, I never went the rock star way. I always went to getting a job and working. And
so your life ended up positive rather than just
exactly.
this disaster that you...
Exactly. But, you know, I always loved playing my drums. But I when I saw that little Hot Wheel, I started, man, I got to build. I started building bicycles and I built some motorcycles. And started building cars. I was just always tinkering on motors.
Uh-huh.
And just that's how I got into it. I just loved them as a kid. You know? Models.
Sure.
How many models we built as a kid, right?
Yeah.
All the great models. And mm-hmm. I remember building models. My bedroom would be like my shop. It'd have a million cars all unfinished and all over bodies sitting on tires and this and that as a kid, right?
Yeah.
And then
hey, we'd like to thank our sponsor, ARP-Bolts.com. We got a fantastic little backdrop here. They make an outstanding series of bolts, almost anything you would need for engines, chassis, things like that. In fact, we were at lunch today, and a guy asked you about the bolt on the back of your shirt, and I said, well, it's really about a head bolt. They neck the stem down of the bolt on a short small block Chevy head bolt, so the clamp load is even across three different head bolt lengths on a small block Chevy. And, you know, so that's the kind of technology that you get out of ARP. And we've all got stories on all that stuff.
Well, for a translation of what he said, call ARPbolts.com.
but the message is that you can't get any better than that.
No, you cannot.
There you go.
Nope.
Excellent.
And then just check them out at ARP-bolts.com. We'd like to thank our friends at InTheGarageMedia.com. They have three fantastic magazines. They've got Classic Truck Performance, they have Modern Rodding, and my favorite, All Chevy Performance, with Nick, my buddy Nick,
who's
the editor.
Oh, you're so biased.
So, yes, of course. Yes. But they're doing print media, which is, of course, our favorite. So,
in color and everything.
In color and everything. Yes. And you can get your car on the cover of one of those books, which is a fun deal. A
great tech.
Great tech. You know, not always written by me, but yeah. People. Yeah.
Not
yeah.
always written by me.
That's right.
Just pick it up and read it.
At InTheGarageMedia.com, and they're our friends, and they will thank you.
Maybe. I need to do...
Something you need to do?
Yeah, I'm going to stand.
Okay.
And go congratulations on the Builder of the Year.
Okay.
Steve, thank
most
you.
Most deserved and
thank
very,
you,
very proud.
Thank you.
And so I needed to do that properly. I'm just not going to reach over Jeff and go, here, really? Probably, maybe. Greatest thing.
Yeah.
So, congratulations. I didn't mean to interrupt the nostalgia, but I haven't been able to say congratulations.
Thank you.
So, wanted to make sure that was done properly.
Okay.
We've been working hard at this whole thing for years. He's kicking ass. This guy kicks butt. I know he does. I've been watching for all these years going, I know this dude. I know this dude. I know this idiot.
And how's he doing that?
You know, SEMA, all his awards through Ford and everything. He just done it.
Well,
he's got the greatest clientele in the world, right?
I've been very fortunate to be surrounded by great people that do great work, and it sounds like a joke, but put up with me, you know, and all my whatever it is, and oh, we got to do this and that, you know. So I've got, as you know, it's you're only as good as the people that you've surrounded yourself with. So
that we were just talking about.
So fortunate for like Mick Jenkins on Peyton, Gabe's on Interior, and all the different artists I've worked with, Steve Stanford, of course, another Orange County boy, right? And then Tavis and Brockmeyer, and then my guys, and I've got guys that have been with me 19 years.
I was about to say 20. So
yeah, going on.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that's, you can be the greatest general in the world, and without all the fighting
all the
soldiers to do it,
yep.
you know, you're
exactly
good
right.
luck. You know,
yep.
so
yep.
And I'm sure it's the same in your under your tent. You've got people that you trust that do good work.
There
and
was no way
turn
the world
it out.
I can do this by myself. There's
right.
no way.
Yeah.
No
it, way. It's yeah. definitely it's, the whole. You need the whole circus,
<It's like laughs>
including the clowns.
Not just the monkeys and the
yeah,
clowns.
That's yeah. right. You do, and it's it is magic when you can take your scatterbrained idea, and through all these people's individual talents working as a group, mm-hmm. turn out something that is successful mm-hmm. and receives accolades and what have you. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, this weekend really, and I don't know about you or your background or why my chair appears to be glued to the floor. It's so humbling for me and even more eye-opening because it's here in front of me and not just in my memories, but down in Building 9, the Street Machine building with all the pro street stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And as I've said on recording other stuff when we were with Rod, they are literally my heroes when I was back in Appalachian, before I ever moved here, Sully, and all those guys. But what's amazing to me is I look at Matt, like Matt's Thunderbird and Rick's, J2000,
way over the top,
and those were built at home, by them.
I know,
Matt, which I'm sure he'll talk about it, and it'll be a completely different thing. You'll have to watch, but Matt was telling me, Matt Hay, that when he was bending up tin for that car, he had no brake. Right, he's at home. He puts the aluminum under his garage door, close the garage door, and then bend the aluminum. And that, you know what that is? That's somebody wanting to bad enough.
Yep.
You know, and when I was building,
I don't have the tool, but I'm gonna get it done.
When
anyway.
I was building my Charger in that parking garage at my apartment, believe me, I had everybody going more than normal. You know, usually I get the whack job thing, but more than normal, I'm like, what are you doing? And I'm like, building the car.
Yeah,
so, you know, it's right. You want it to bad enough. And those guys We're doing stuff that was at, right now it's at epic proportion.
Yeah,
you go look at that J2000 and it's mind scattering.
Stainless cage, frame
cage. The whole chassis.
The whole thing's all stainless.
He sent me a picture that his
And go look,
took.
There's not one
beautiful.
Bubble in the welds. They're all smooth. It's unbelievable.
So he ground it all down, polished it, and after about a day and a half of doing it straight through to get it finished, there was his wife took a picture of him. He looked like somebody from the moon, like an alien. He was just whacked out. His eyes were this big, you know, and he was just like, just got to get it done.
It's just incredible that they're at home doing that.
And then when he finishes that card, he's going to build this thing to go around the world.
Oh, yeah, the Earth orbiter. No,
the orbiter, whatever.
Surface orbiter.
Yeah. Surface orbiter.
He's going to go in the ocean. I heard he's going to go all over the world.
I heard the dog left, though.
He
got up on a beach and the dog left.
His deal was that he wanted to circumnavigate the globe with this amphibious vehicle.
Yeah.
And he told me the story. And the crazy part about it is I have to cross.
All of it?
One part of the crazy part was crossing the North Sea in the winter. And it's like, Rick, you're not going to survive that. You're just not going to know. And he goes, no, this thing is. And the best part about this is the engineering that went into that. And the J2000 too, but even more so than the surface orbiter. I guess we'll have to take a picture. Show
it's
a picture
the craziest
so
thing.
It is. It's made out of a stainless steel milk
like
tank.
You see a milk truck going down the road.
Yeah, but it's powered, and he designed it and built it all himself. He's not an engineer. Just amazing
stuff.
So
what I am thankful for about that, though, and when we do the interview with him, I'm going to thank him. Anytime any wife or girlfriend thinks you're nuts, go, see this guy?
No.
This guy took a milk truck tank. And put wheels in it and floated across the ocean and wanted to go around the world.
Have you heard the story of how
I'm
that started?
So I'm not so bad.
Yeah. Have you heard the story of how that started? Here's how it started. Took the J2000 down to Australia, right? Because for their Street Machine Nationals. Takes it down there. And it's a big hit and everything. And they're just goofing around. He and his wife, she's got a little VHS recorder going. And he's goofing around with a kangaroo. You ever heard him talk about boxing kangaroos?
I missed that.
If you know Rick, he'll mess with you, right?
Okay.
So he's jacking around this kangaroo, kind of just boom, like this.
Kangaroo hits him good.
Down, out for the lights, right? His wife videotapes this whole thing. They took it to ABC's funniest videos. Won the whole thing. That's where the money came from.
Wow.
To finance the surface orbiter.
Wow.
That's okay. Where it came from.
Now let's review. You build yourself.
Now, I hope that story's true. We're going to get Rick on here.
You build yourself the most incredible street machine that has ever been seen by human eyes. You go to Australia with it. You fight a kangaroo. And from that video, you get applause and take the money from that and go, I'm going to build a milk tank that goes around the world.
That's amphibious.
All right.
And water and all.
Just checking that I got that right.
I saw the photos of this, so I know this is true. Took it through the Panama Canal.
Oh, he did?
Oh, the love of Christ.
Yeah, he finished it. He actually finished it.
Oh, yeah. It's completely functional.
Wow. I'm telling you. I was told.
It was in Car and Driver.
Maybe you know or not, but I either remember or hearing the stories that he came up, one of the times he came up on land somewhere, he opened up,
I think
and the dog got out, and the dog left.
I haven't heard that story.
I hope that's true. I really hope down to my soul they opened the door and the dog went, I'm out.
You'll have to watch the one that we do with Rick because it's liable to be insane. Because
insane.
There's so many stories.
Is Nova.
The Nova was the preeminent vehicle. That's
right.
What got him started. And then the J2000 after that. And then he's doing stuff right now, so we don't want to spin off on that.
Yeah,
because we want to
right.
save that stuff. But I mean, all those guys, you know, they were
all
doing all that stuff.
They all influenced us, man.
Yeah.
Growing up,
oh, yeah, no doubt.
Like Scott Sullivan, all these dudes, they influenced us growing
sure.
up. I remember seeing Scott
through
Sullivan.
His pages.
Yeah, through your pages.
He brought it to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm standing there at the mailbox waiting for my Russia hot rod. Gimme! I've got nothing to do. I'm in the sticks.
Yeah, your nose is pressed up against the glass.
Heck
right?
Yeah, man! I couldn't wait for my new issue because it was my connection. Because I can tell you, there's not a lot of hot rodding going on in Appalachia, New York, and at all ever. And it was I'm sure with you. It was our way to connect to what was going on and what the vibe was what was new and what was hip and what was cool. And the pages took what was obviously, like, that car stands on its own. It never needed to be in a magazine. It's insanity. But when you're looking and you're reading and you're looking at photos of it, it's like, you know, it's superstar. you know, and same with Scotty,
and
Matt and Debbie, and all that, and Rick, Mark Grimes, and Dobbert, and everybody.
All those guys.
So, you know, you made them, actually, their hard work made them the superstar, but you were a magnifying glass.
Yeah.
You took what was done in. And gave it to us.
Our job
look at.
Was easy. Building the car was hard. Our job was just easy. Just take a few pictures and make them out to be a hero.
I brought it. You put it in front of everybody in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Which, so was there a car?
We would have never known. Yeah.
So, him, that's your fault.
So was the car, when you were growing up, was there one car that like really influenced you?
Well, I grew up in the Northern California area. So there was a guy named Bob Cicchini. He built the Golden Nugget.
Okay.
And, I know that car. Okay.
And as a kid, that was the car that kind of inspired me.
And what was it?
It was a Buick, 57 Buick.
Okay.
Yeah, and he also built a bunch. I loved motorcycles growing up.
Okay.
So he built the American Express and Arlen Ness. And all these guys were like Bob Drone, and all the bike builders. I kind of grew up around that.
Okay.
I remember being a kid going to the Grand Oakland Roadster show, 7, 8, 9 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there was two big rooms at the Coliseum, but then there was a tunnel in between. So the tunnel was where all the bikers
were. Where all the bikes were. Okay. Yep.
And all the bike, and it'd be dark and kind of dingy looking in there and purple lights, right? And I, as a little kid, I'd be like, God, I love it in this little tunnel with all these dark bikers and
it's like an alien kind of world.
Black lights.
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of my favorite little area as a little kid. My mom would leave, we'd take Bart and my mom would leave me there and I'd be 8, 9 years old by myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
At the Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. So you have a real broad background of vehicles.
Oh, yeah. Because
a lot of times you talk to people, I'm one of them, that just single focused on a certain thing and expand it out later. But it sounds like yours was the other way around. It was like the whole world and then just kind of narrowed in a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I couldn't imagine being like him being out in the boonies and not being able to see all this
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, there was nothing.
You didn't have it.
No, there was nothing to see. I had, so luckily for me, and I could tell you how much impact it made. When I was in sixth grade, I went to a really small school. So like the 9 kids in 9th grade became the 9 kids in 10th grade next year, right? And in sixth grade, there was this senior named Jim, and he had oddly enough, I remember this from school, nothing else, but he had a triple black 68 Roadrunner 440 four-speed car on aluminum slots. And it sounded gnarly, and it looked not to sound like a kid, but it looked tough.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And you know
and
what
fast.
I mean? And fast.
Right.
And so the little parking lot for the school, again, very small school, was up here. And then down around the side of the building over here on the sidewalk is where the bus would pick us up, right? And I would almost miss the bus every day because I just wanted to hear him fire it up and watch him drive away.
Yeah.
Because he'd shift pretty aggressively leaving. And one day, he took me for a ride in it and power shifted.
How old were you?
12, 13.
Okay. Wow.
And power shifted through it. And the whole back end of the car, going out. And I went, oh, it's the greatest thing ever.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you were ruined. You were ruined, at that point.
Ruined.
Yeah.
And then my cousin Donnie also had a 74 Camaro. And of course, in upstate New York, at any time, normally you got, you know, winter tires on it.
Yeah.
And it's just this black Camaro. Mm-hmm. But in the summer.
Yeah, it was badass, right?
Air shocks.
Yep.
Indy SS profile tires.
Yep.
Chrome craggers, side pipes. Mm-hmm. And it was a stick car, believe it or not. It was
four-speed
car. And, the air jacker, the air shocks, and he had that bunny sticker
right.
in the back window for hijackers.
Yep.
And Lakewood for the traction bars.
The traction bars, which you had to have.
From my grandma's house, you're looking at my uncle's house, and Donnie's car would be parking there. And I'd walk there, and I would literally just stand in the field and just look at it.
Just
look at it.
And I think also, that's every high school kid, you know, of course, you're in junior high school, there's always like, in my case, there was, I was probably ninth grade, walking to class, but early in the morning, this guy would go pick up his girlfriend. He had a jacked up 55 Chevy.
Sure.
You know, back then, that was the gas look was everything, right? And I would just wait by the window at my mom's house and watch him drive past our house to go pick up his girlfriend. Yeah. And it was like, oh.
So cool.
Yeah.
So tough.
Yeah.
I had an older brother that was in the car, so he always had hot rods and stuff.
No, see, you're lucky.
Yeah. He had a 65 Chevelle, I remember, all raised up in the front with steelies and dish wheels in the back, you know. growing up, and I used to sit by that little car and go, God, I love it, love it.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the influence. And hopefully,
oh, yeah,
whatever people are doing today is going to influence the young kids in the future.
It
won't all be electric cars.
I can only hope.
Internal combustion will survive somehow, I think.
I think so.
Because it,
the party trick of just being super quick till your battery runs out is not very visceral.
Mm-hmm.
It's not visceral.
They don't have the soul of an internal
combustion. Well, it's fun to be frightened. When I drive, there's a car I brought, the Martini Mustang, which we built a while ago, like 12 years ago.
Yeah.
That car has a brand new owner, and he is very familiar, owns a lot of incredibly amazing vintage race cars, mm-hmm. road race cars,
okay.
with like real serious provenance, and they are fast.
Uh-huh.
And so he took it out for the first time and got on it. Because it's got an IndyCar motor in it.
It's got an IndyCar motor in it.
And it was so cool to hear him, who owns many amazingly very fast cars, mm-hmm. and he goes, the two things I love, which I agree of, is that car wants you to, the old term of grab it by the scruff.
Mm-hmm.
It does not want to be coddled.
Right.
It is aggressive.
Yeah.
And it is visceral.
Mm-hmm.
And it wants to hurt you and everything else. And if you don't drive it that way, it's worse.
Right.
It's angry about it.
Right.
And every time I've driven the car, you get out of the, your adrenaline's going when you get out of the car. Because you're paying attention. It's very loud. There's no sound deadening in it.
Right,
and The transmission's an illegal NASCAR tranny that's straight cut gears and bam. Yeah. And so it's very visceral.
Uh-huh.
And it's emotional.
Yeah.
You get out and you're like, God, you know, and this guy said the same thing, and he owns plenty of these cars, and he's like, wow, that thing's like, you're paying attention and you're, you know, you're driving it and you're focusing on what you're doing, just going down the highway.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing, I think, needs to be a ride at every amusement park for every child.
Yeah, anybody.
You're just getting this.
Yeah,
and we'll see if you like it or not.
You need to take more young kids for riding it.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll probably be into it.
Oh,
you know?
There'll be a couple that'll be like, I don't get it, or that's not for me. But there's going to be others going, oh, I want to do that. Let's go around again. Yeah, go around again, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and that's what I got with that senior.
Yeah.
When he took me for that ride. One ride.
Yeah.
You know, and power shifted it in the back end. You know, you both know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, absolutely.
And I'm sure so do a couple of you. And you get in that and you're like, oh, I need that. That's a drug.
Yeah.
Because it's adrenaline and it's endorphin. It's everything. You know, again, it's exactly. visceral.
Well,
and that gets in your.
Yep. On that high, we're going to cut this off.
No, we got to talk about his show. Oh, you already talked about it.
We already did.
We got to make sure he has his time.
We're good. We did it all.
Congratulations on being built.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thanks for coming down here and visiting with us. It's been a great day.
Wait, do we got 2 seconds? Do we got 2 seconds?
Sure.
2 seconds.
Oh, God. I'm so ignoring you. What's coming down the pike? What can we see coming up?
Yes. We have.
Because I need to know what not to build.
You know what's right now? What's hot is truck.
That was good.
Thank you.
That trucks was good. Trucks that are very good
right now. Yeah. Trucks are hot.
Oh,
trucks.
Yeah.
I got right now probably 10 trucks in my shop right now that we're building.
Really?
C10s and 56 F100.
Yeah.
Chevy trucks. I got a couple.
Four. One of them coming next year.
I got probably
75th anniversary next year.
I have probably about Grand four new ones next year coming.
Okay.
How many?
Four.
Well, good for you.
I got a question. Because I know you and I have the same problem.
Now I need a question.
Because I'm legally blind. And I know poor Steve has gone through the same damn thing. It's like a who are you kind of thing. So,
Hot Rods by Braille.
No, I want to say, how do you judge by Braille?
No, that was the question. That's right. That's
how am I judging?
How do you judge by Braille?
Oh, that's fair. And cruel.
I'm legally blind, and everybody goes, how do you see the scratch? I go, well, I've got to put my prosthetic lenses in, and I can see everything. But if you take them out, I can't see anything. I'm blind as a bat.
I'll remember that. All right.
This could go on for another hour, right?
Okay. Yep.
All right. So we want to thank arp.bolts-bolts.com,
could that be
our friends at ARP. And we also want to thank John Buck
and Kevin for helping us with the Grand National Roaster Show. That's where we are right now.
Yep.
Thanks again for coming. This is a great time.
And congratulations to
yes,
you, sir.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. And if you like the stories we're telling you, keep with us because we'll just tell you a lot more.
Awesome.